Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle.
Hey,
so he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
Ladies and gentlemen of Steeler Nation, welcome to the Steelers Final Score. I'm Jeff Harbin, editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Joined with me always is Chris Carter. We have a lot to talk about today as the Pittsburgh Steelers dropped their Week 8 game and their second in a row by a score of 16-10 to the Cincinnati Bengals at Heinz Field. There's a lot of storylines that can be taken out of this one. It could be Le'Veon Bell's injury. It could be Ben Roethlisberger's substandard return. Or it could be the fact that the defense, despite losing the game, certainly stood up and made enough plays to win. Chris, how's it going? I know it's not very good. What are your thoughts initially after this loss?
I'm super proud of the defense. They played their mind. They played outside their mind. It was ridiculous. The interception that Blake had, I thought, was insane. The pressure that they were able to mount upon Andy Dalton, they really bottled up the ground game, it seemed like. They gave up that one last score, but when you keep giving another team that many opportunities, eventually a professional NFL offense with that many weapons is going to get in the end zone. I was disappointed to see, Ben Roethlisberger hurt, but the real story right now is what's up with Le'Veon Bell. How bad is the injury? Is it season ending, or is it like Ben's what we thought it was and he's not? It looked really bad, and that's probably the biggest note for me right now is just Dan, because everything seems fine when he was in. As soon as he came out, the whole game changed.
Yeah, for me, I think it's going to be the obvious storyline is to go right to Le'Veon Bell's injury, and rightfully so, but I'm going to have to point to Ben Roethlisberger on this one. You will not find a bigger Ben Roethlisberger supporter than the guy that you're talking to right now. And he just – it wasn't his knee, I'll be honest. And everyone that's watched the Steelers for any amount of time knows that Roethlisberger is prone to just having those games that just are not good. And this was one of them, in my opinion. It wasn't good. He looked good on the first drive, and then after that, whether it was receivers dropping passes, Antonio Brown had a big drop over the middle, Martavis Bryant dropped potentially a touchdown as well as another on the sideline. It was just a rough game. Roethlisberger finishes 28-45, 262, one touchdown, three interceptions, was sacked three times. Whereas on the other side, it wasn't very pretty for Andy Dalton either, but Ben Roethlisberger had every opportunity to at least ice out the game by just extending drives, by getting a couple first downs. And if anyone is serious in this game, it's Keith Butler and the defense, because they did a great job. They limited the Bengals' offense, which had been scoring over 30 points a game, to just 16 points. They didn't allow a third down conversion throughout the entire first half. They were able to sack, let's see here, let me get my stats up here. They sacked Dalton three times, but that's not indicative of how much they were around him. They harassed him. They got turnovers. They had the blocked field goal. It just looked like everything was going the Steelers' way, unless they got in their own way. And that's exactly what happened by two very, very ill-timed turnovers. And ultimately, it put the game out of reach. And you can even go and look at coaching, and you have to ask yourself, Tomlin not electing to call a timeout ahead of the two-minute warning. In hindsight, I know it's always 20-20, but you'd love to have those 40 seconds left on the clock with Roethlisberger getting the football instead of 4 seconds where he throws the ball out of bounds to end the game there. So this is a head-scratcher for me, to be honest with you. The Steelers had every opportunity to insert their name back into the AFC North discussion, insert them as elite contenders in the AFC, and they literally dropped the ball. If you want to call in, not to be all doom and gloom on you, if you want to call in and vent about the game, you can. You can call 347-850-8581. That's 347-850-8581. We have a couple callers on the line already. Let's get some of these people on. 732-266, you're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Vito Manco, New Jersey. How are you?
Vito, I've been better.
Yeah, I know you've been better, guys. My prediction after today is I don't know how they come back. I mean, I really think it was a sloppy performance by the offense. I really do. And, you know, Ben made some key mistakes at the worst possible time. The defense did such a great job. I think they win that game if Ben doesn't throw those two picks. There was no need for him to force those two picks. I truly believe there was no need for him to force that first pick. Why was he doing that? I mean, it's a third and six. You know what? You don't see anything, throw it away. We just let them
earn.
You could
tell he was getting frustrated. Like, just
let him earn the red zone.
Yeah.
You know, you gave it to them. You gave it to them. You gave that game away. So, you know, my whole life I read stuff and I always say, you know, good teams usually win. That's not true. The better team doesn't always win. So coming into this game, Cincinnati was the better team. And what happened is Cincinnati didn't win. Pittsburgh lost. Pittsburgh lost because key mistakes at key times. But my other thing is, where is the offense all game long after that, you know, first couple of drives? What happened to them? Where were they all game long if they only got that TD and then all I saw was a field goal? Other than that, they really didn't do much.
Well, I think, Vito, to answer your second question, because I do agree with you first and foremost that good teams, the better team doesn't always win. And whether Pittsburgh was the better team today, that's debatable. I mean, the Bengals made enough plays. But I think on that first drive, you saw the Steelers show very good balance. They were running the ball well with Le'Veon Bell. They were working the perimeter, say, Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. And then all of a sudden, whether it was Le'Veon Bell leaving in the second quarter with a knee injury or whether it was the fact that they thought they could exploit some deep plays down the field, they got away from doing what was working in that opening drive. And credit the Bengals' defense. That's a good defense on the other side of the ball as well, and they did their job by holding them in the red zone and stifling drives and pushing them out of field goal range. The Pittsburgh Steelers had every opportunity to win. Now, where do they go moving forward? You have to think that with Roethlisberger now back in the fold, he's gotten a game underneath his belt, that he'll be more comfortable going into next week. I think the question is the offense, was the defense going to be able to play that well every week? And then is the offense finally going to be able to find their rhythm again, the rhythm that they had to start the season and then that they lost? It seems like there's always a step backwards. Chris, what do you think?
You know, it does seem like there's always just one thing or another. We talked about before how, you know, Ben doesn't have a good record coming to the game, and whether or not his pre-snap, like he's a lot better pre-snap than he's ever been in his career, and whether or not that could help him. I think it helped early. He certainly seemed to be reading everything in front of him. But, you know, like Vito said, with the passes that he forced, the Steelers didn't need those. And I think it came out of a frustration for just he knows that they were leaving so many points out there, and that they were not playing their best football in the least. You know, he was missing open guys. I mean, that one pick, Brown was wide open coming across the middle of the field. He just overthrew him. You know, those type of things. They, you know, he's been anxious. Like they, you know, they said, the announcers said in their interview with Ben that he said that he was, you know, he couldn't wait to get out on the field and stuff like that. You know, maybe that has maybe all of that building up and then not having consistent success throughout the game, you know, that then you start forcing plays like that because you want to be the captain, the Ben Roethlisberger that makes those amazing, ridiculous plays that his reputation is known for. And then he ends up making mistakes, and the Bengals capitalize on it, give him credit for making those plays because they certainly did. Whether or not, you know, they were the better team today, you know, the scoreboard indicates that they were. But I do think that the Steelers left a lot more out there. And you definitely saw a tone shift in the game when Bell went out. Ben still had every opportunity to make the plays. And I think that it didn't really impact their play calling situation. But the way that Bell was playing early in the game, it looked like he was going to start breaking more and more runs off and probably create some big plays for the team. So just lots of stuff left out there on the field. I think that's the story, that the Steelers left a ton out there. And really, they took away a lot of opportunities for the Bengals.
Yeah, and so, Vito, thanks for the phone call. Anyone else that wants to call in, you can, 347-850-8581. Let's get another caller on the air here. We have 727-520. You're on with Chris and Jeff. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's appreciated. Four quick points here. I mean, Bell injury looks bad. Thoughts with him and the family. But injury aside, I mean, look, guys. First, I know a lot of fans are ready to hit the panic button, but at 4-4, the way the AFC looks, we can still beat the teams we should beat and make the playoffs. In fact, we should. I mean, second, the concern or reality fans have to consider here is accepting that we're 1-4 in conference. With that record in conference and three undefeateds right now, we're looking wild card even if we win 10-12. I mean, New England, Denver, or Cincy on the road is almost reality. Okay, that's okay. Third, all things said, the defense has outplayed expectations midway through this season. No question there. And Roethlisberger, we know the history. When he's back off of an injury that's multiple games, he's 2-5. Okay, just give him some time. We do have an entire half a season left. Lastly, I mean, I guess the message to Steeler fans is calm down, and if I'm going to steal anything from Aaron Rodgers, it's relax. The sky is not falling, and Chicken Little is not, he's still squawking.
Yeah, you're right, and I didn't catch your name, caller, but those are very good points that you made, especially about the AFC being so mediocre at best. You look at the AFC playoff picture, and I know we're halfway through the season after Week 8 concludes, and you look at the fact that if they're going to do anything, it's going to be they're going to lose control over their own destiny. And that's something that was an article I wrote for the website last week after the Kansas City Chiefs loss, is that they still do control their own destiny, looking at they still have to play the Raiders and they still have to play the Bengals again. They have the Ravens again. So your AFC record, that's the biggest thing for Steelers fans to be concerned about, is that they've only won one game in the conference. Because of that, that's a lot of those are a lot of tiebreakers, and so they have to try to avoid that as best as possible. Here's a question for you, though, Colley. You said that the defense has, by all means, played above where they thought they would be. A question about the offense. Dealing with all the injuries that they've had to face throughout eight games this year, would you say that they've grossly underperformed kind of the opposite side of the coin of the defense?
No. See, I actually think the offense has performed quite well. I mean, given where they were pre-Roethlisberger injury, you know, that was where we expected them to be. But given the way they won the two games they won, yeah, I know they should have beaten Baltimore probably. You know, that can be debated. Kansas City, you know, a week ago. But, no, the offense, I think given the injuries, the offense has produced to about where they should. I mean, you know, I know points, red zone offense, or efficiency, that's, you know, probably where the problem lies. But I don't think we have a problem really moving the ball. I mean, we control the ball when we have it. But scoring, maybe scoring, efficiency.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
I think there's definitely efficiency problems. I think that there was definitely timing issues. When you looked at the way that the things worked, and it wasn't like the Steelers, like you said, you're right, you're absolutely right, caller. It's not that we couldn't move the ball, because we certainly could, but it seemed like Ben was not in sync with his biggest playmakers, in Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant throughout the game. And but I'll tell you what, we haven't said this. I give a big gold star to Heath Miller for the way that he played today. When he took that shot in the second quarter and got up and then caught like two or three more passes on that drive, I had never seen Heath Miller express emotion before. He's always just been like, "Yeah, I caught a touchdown or whatever." Thank you very much. But he got up and he was so fired. And as you see him, like, he's like, "Hey, other guys are struggling. I'm going to step up." And I think that's a testament to how many other good players are on this offense to try and get things going. It didn't work out for us today, but I do think that this may be the game that Ben needed to get himself settled, get back into the offense, and get a groove going, and really get fired up for next week, just to kind of find that rhythm, because that's not something that you just develop overnight and then dip out and then just come back and it's automatically there 24/7. It can be there for a time, and it was in the first drive. It looked like, you know, he wasn't going to miss a beat, but it shows when you're playing at such a high level and you have all these different playmakers, it's tough to stay in that rhythm when you haven't been able to be in that rhythm for 4 weeks. So I think ultimately the offense, they still have the talent. They still have the weapons. There's no doubt in my mind that they are very much in the hunt, and we still get a shot with Denver too later in the season. But today it just bites that they were not able to pull together a win, because the opportunities were there for the offense on several occasions, and even on that last drive, I was really happy with Martavis Bryant the way both times he got out of bounds. I thought the fake spike call was a little too tricky for my taste. I was kind of like, just spike it and move on. But he did a great job extending the ball, making sure that the clock was going to stop, and then catching the other ball, getting as many yards as he could, and then getting out of bounds. So the talent's still there. I don't think that the offense has necessarily underperformed this far into the season, because with all the bumps in the road and the obstacles in the way, the only thing I'd say about the offense is that they're dealing with a lot more than any of the team is really dealing with.
Yeah, that's a good point. Caller, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Good stuff there. We have some people on hold. We're going to get to you. If you want to call in, 347-850-8581. Again, that's 347-850-8581. Let's get this next caller on the air. 630-346, you're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead. Hello, anyone there? 630 number. All right,
hello?
We lost that individual. Oh, hold on. Yeah, you there? We got you here. You're on with Final Score.
Hey, how we doing?
Could be doing better. What's up?
I thought our defense, did very well today. I definitely think that looking forward, I think that's something we can be very excited for. And I mean, with the injury with Le'Veon Bell and some missed keys today on offense, I mean, for Big Ben to come back and to be able to, do what he did today, I mean, we shouldn't expect, too much for him. But I mean, looking forward, how do you think, we fare against, the AFC and the rest of the division?
That's a very tough question, because there's so many question marks on this football team, especially on the offensive side now with Le'Veon Bell out. But Roethlisberger coming back is a good step forward. The defense playing well is a good step forward. How do they fare against the elite teams in the AFC? I mean, if you're looking at teams like New England, you're looking at Cincinnati that they just played, you're looking at Denver, all those undefeated teams. Well, I mean, they can hang with those teams, but the offense is going to have to be better. Chris, what do you think?
I think when you're looking at the playoff picture, it's getting a little tight, just because, one, you know that a bad team from the AFC South is going to make the playoffs because they're going to win the division. Right now, it looks like it's the Colts, but Houston is 3-5. If the Colts keep losing, one of them is going to take up a playoff spot. But looking at the wild card, our biggest problems right now are the Jets at 4-2 and the Raiders at 3-3. And oh look, they're playing today. And if the Jets win, it would put us back in the proverbial sixth spot of the right now playoff picture, which doesn't really mean anything for the long haul. But I don't think we play the Jets, but we do play the Raiders. And so it's one of, right now, I think that as long as the offense can get back on track, they can. I think that the Steelers will be fine, because they will be able to beat teams like Oakland. They'll be able to beat those teams, and they still got some tough games ahead. I'm not exactly counting Cleveland out as automatic wins just yet, especially with our case of the injury bug right now. We got that game. We got the Bengals again in Cincinnati. Got the Ravens in Baltimore, and despite their record, I don't they're division rivals. I don't count them out. I think that the Steelers will be fine and will make it in. And we've seen Ben Roethlisberger and go on the road before in the playoffs and win multiple games to head to a Super Bowl. So I wouldn't count it out in the AFC, but they have to start winning. Like they use their margin of error, in my opinion, at this point in the season, and which we understood was coming because Ben was hurt. Even with him coming back this week, we knew that he wasn't going to be his best this week with the situation he was in. I think the margin of error is pretty much gone. I'd say they can lose two more games and stay in the hunt. But they really need to start turning it on, and they need to go on a two-game win streak going into this bye week. But note to everyone, this is the first time that the Steelers have lost back-to-back games since late in 2013 when they lost to the Ravens on Thanksgiving and to the Dolphins in that snow game where Antonio Brown's foot went out of bounds.
But, you know, the caller, to your point, and I'll say you said this at the very beginning of your call, the defense does deserve a lot of credit. That's what you started off your call with. They deserve a tremendous amount of credit. Even today, without Stephon to it, they played well in run defense. They put a lot of pressure on Andy Dalton. They forced interceptions. They made plays when they needed to. And people might, if you want to complain about the touchdown to A.J. Green, this is an offense that puts up over 30 points a game. You just held them to 16. You're going to give up a touchdown, well, unless you have
correct,
an offense
yeah.
like the Steelers today. So, that's a great point. The defense deserves a lot of credit, especially Keith Butler, who, in my opinion, is coaching out of his mind right now. But thanks for the phone call. We certainly appreciate it. If you want to call in, you can. We have a lot of callers waiting. 347-850-8581. Get this next caller on the air. We can. Might be having some technical difficulties here. Here we go.
There we go.
407-864. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hi. This is my first time calling. And I love your show. You guys give great analysis, and I love behindthesteelcurtain.com. I just have like a general comment, just like you know, it's kind of a game of unusual missed expectations. You know, like we were expecting super high points, and it ends up being 10-16. But I think the biggest thing about one thing that's kind of personal with the defense is, you know, like we're always talking about how we can't cover the tight ends, but this particular game, you know, we covered Tyler Eifert for, he only got 4 catches and 39 yards, that's one good improvement about the defense in particular amongst, you know, all their other good interceptions.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
I think it's a very good point. You know, people talked about it, you know, how we've given up a lot of yards. They really put it to Tyler Eifert and said, hey, if you're going to make catches and get yards, you're going to have to make some big ones. And they did not give him easy plays. They made a lot of tackles in front of them, keeping the Bengals short of the six. And they did what good defenses have to do. They forced the Bengals to have to make several consecutive good plays and not have big plays that break them loose and, you know, and do the job, and they get the job done that way. No, you're going to beat me with several plays, and you're going to have to play really good to get your points. And you know, they got the touchdown late, you know, with the turnovers that happened and how things didn't work out for Pittsburgh. Ultimately, the defense did a great job. And Jeff, you got a good point about Keith Butler. I thought it was a brilliant move, and it really seemed to pay off. Instead of putting Cam Thomas in there, which we talked about last week was a huge liability, putting McCullers, giving them a start at nose tackle, and putting McClendon at the other defensive end position, and they seem to perform a lot better this week. And that eliminated it lessened the impact of missing Stephon Tuitt, which we really felt last week with the way that the Chiefs just ran all over the defense. I super credit to that. And now the Steelers have officially faced, going into this week, they have faced the first highest scoring offense in the Patriots, the second highest scoring offense in the Cardinals, and the third highest scoring offense in the Bengals. And each of them, they've held them to the lowest amount of points that they've scored all season. So super credit to Butler. They're doing something right. You know, you just wish the offense would have came through today, and they would be 2-1 against those type of teams instead of 1-2.
Yeah, and if you look at some of the X factors that are going on here with injuries and stuff of that nature, you know, any player that misses a significant amount of time is going to take time to work themselves back in. You can say that about Ben Roethlisberger today, but also Ryan Shazier. You know, people criticized him after that Kansas City game. The guy hadn't played in 4 weeks. It takes some time. He looked better today. He was the one that covered Eifert a lot. I thought Lawrence Timmons played great today. And Daniel McCullers, I thought, represented himself very well. For a player that gets criticized a lot by his coach, John Mitchell, who gets criticized a lot for his effort, I saw him a lot, especially running down running plays. He was pressuring from the pocket. He had a great game. The defense does deserve credit. We have another caller. If you want to call in, by all means, call 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. Let's get this next individual on the phone, 407-484. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How are you? Love the website. I'm still trying to unwind here. I mean, there's a couple of things that just seem like it's commonplace. One is, why no timeout with 2:38 left? I mean, over the last 2 or 3 years, has there been a team worse at managing the clock than us? I mean, and that's got to fall on Tomlin. And I love Tomlin, but I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. My biggest issue is Todd Haley. I don't get the moving downfield, the opening drive. Why a flea flicker? We have the most skilled guys at wide receiver, at running back, than any other combination in the NFL. We don't need to trick anybody. We really don't, especially when we're moving the ball. I mean, it just seems like over and over and over, Todd Haley gets in the way of a great offense. I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
I'll go ahead and talk about your time management question, and then I'll let Chris talk about Todd Haley. For the time management piece, it's easy to say that hindsight, obviously, you would want to have that time back on the clock. And I think most coaches would have called a timeout there. If I'm the one that's running the show there, I'm going to call that timeout on that side of the two-minute warning to try and give my team enough time. And for whatever reason, Tomlin didn't do it. Now, I'm sure he's going to get questioned on this like he does every week about his clock management. But you're right. And it's right to question a coach's clock management. However, it's really easy to criticize clock management when looking back at it from the hindsight perspective that I just spoke of. For instance, if the Steelers would have gone down, let's say they had a big play to Martavis Bryant, and they scored a touchdown in relative, say, quick fashion, then people are going to praise Tomlin for not giving them that much time back on the clock. However, that didn't happen. It's easy to criticize on the other side of the coin. So I think that what we need to figure out is Tomlin's not great at controlling the clock, but what people need to remember, too, is that a lot of those decisions on the field might be based on Ben Roethlisberger. He's looking at the clock. He's looking at how the play responded, for instance, the patterns that were being run. If you think back to the very first play of that last drive, every single receiver that they had was at least running a 15-yard route, and then Roethlisberger gets sacked. They've got to come all the way back to the line of scrimmage and set up just to get the play clocked. It's always easy in hindsight to criticize, but, yeah, it is an issue. Chris, what do you think about Todd Haley?
I'm not too mad at Todd Haley for this game. People have been wondering about the play calls and this and the third. But Todd Haley is a big reason for the evolution of Ben Roethlisberger. He's really forced him to have to make the pre-snap read. Ben Roethlisberger seemed content for most of his career to just see what he sees in front of him, make one or two adjustments, and then just sling the ball and go to work, which is fun to watch, and it can be successful. But elite quarterbacks do more than that. They bring that to the table as well as analyzing and breaking down a defense, which you've seen Ben do a lot more now that he's adjusted to Haley's system. The play calls were there today. One of the calls that I loved, everyone used to hate Bruce Arians and his wide receiver screens that everyone knew and everyone and their mother knew was coming. But they used it against the Bengals today in the second quarter when they faked the screen and Heath Miller was just going down the field on it. It was a perfect setup. I can't really blame – I mean, the three interceptions were on Ben and no one else. The first one, he threw into a double coverage. He did not see the safety when Brown was going deep. The overthrow on – overthrew Brown on the second one. It was right to the safety. Brown was wide open. The throw was there. The call was there. Ben made the mistake. And then the third one, he was just trying to do too much, and he took too long to find Will Johnson on the sideline, and they picked it off. those aren't on Todd Haley. That's on Ben Roethlisberger trying to make too many plays. And that's not saying he's bad. That's not saying he's not good. That's saying he just didn't get the job done today. And that's going to happen on occasion. But I'm not really mad at Todd Haley for the way this game goes. I did question the flea flicker because I was like, what? I think that's trying to be a little too tricky. But at the same time, if it worked, we would have been geniuses, and this would be, oh, that was a great call by Todd Haley. Yeah, but I think that's one of those things that if, you know, it's in their playbook, they used it, and, you know, it just didn't work out the best of their advantage. I don't think Todd Haley's, you know, the greatest offensive coordinator genius in the world, but I do think he's done a heck of a job improving the situation in Pittsburgh over the years and trying to find different ways to hit people, because we definitely give people more looks and make them think about different things. So I'm not too mad at Todd Haley, nor am I too mad at the game management at the end of the game. I don't think we're any worse than you know, the people who are actually the worst in the league. That we had the ball with a lot of time on the clock, and we took a sack on the start of the possession, and I think that was a key problem in the function of the game.
Yeah, and caller, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. I think with Haley, it's kind of like Ben Roethlisberger in terms of you take the good with the bad.
Right.
Haley has decreased the amount of big hits on Roethlisberger. Obviously, his injury prior to this game in week three was not because of, you know, the drop, the seven-step drop and chuck it deep that Roethlisberger used to do under Arians. Yet you also do have some questionable play calls. Think back to week one when they're moving the ball on the field and he calls a reverse touchdown or the pass by Antonio Brown. Just some mind-numbing stuff. You're going to take the good with the bad. Roethlisberger had all the time in the world to throw the football away. He tries to squeeze into a window to Will Johnson, and it gets picked off. You take the good with the bad. We have another caller here. If you can get this person on the air, 347-406. You're on with Jeff and Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Well, I think you and I can say we've been better, but what's up?
yeah, absolutely, compared to what happened today. You know, I think you're spot on in terms of Todd Haley. Look, I think Todd Haley's a good offensive mind. I think sometimes we get a little bit of, you know, exit Todd Haley, enter zany Todd, where he does, like, the zany stuff on the reverse or you know, it's Patriots 3rd and 6. Let's not throw it with the quarterback. Let's run it with D'Angelo, and he gets stopped. You settle for the field goal. I don't think we got too much of zany Todd. But what I do think we got today, unfortunately, was, A, like you said, Ben trying to squeeze throws in and trying to just be a little too greedy and force the action, and he paid for it today dearly. And I don't think the offensive line, from a pass protection standpoint, played all that consistent today. Too many penalties and just getting beat too many times one-on-one. You know, I know we've talked about Cody Wallace. You know, he got beat a few times. I thought, you know, Marcus Gilbert held up okay, but there were some times that he didn't hold up strong when he needed to. Same thing with that big penalty on Ramon Foster. Just not good enough in terms of one-on-one play that they needed in a tight game like this. I thought the effort from the defense was outstanding. I'm very much convinced that the blueprint on A.J. Green is get physical with him at the line, and I think you can win the war of attrition. The only thing I don't like from the defense was, you know, last possession, you know, on their scoring possession, don't give this guy no inside technique. Jam him and make him go over the top. Don't give him an easy release inside and to come up and try to make a tackle when you don't have a lot of room. Beat him up at the line, because I think if you're physical with him, you can win. You can win some matchups. You know, overall, the team being 4-4, and, you know, they're still fighting for the wild card, which you have to concede now because they're not going to get this division. But I just felt this one came down to the offensive line needed to play better, and they didn't.
Yeah, that's a great point, and we appreciate the call. Go ahead, Chris. You have a quick thought.
No, I'll tell you what. That's a very good observation on the checking of A.J. Green in the red zone, because Ross Cockrell, I'll tell you what, on that one fade route that they tried to A.J. Green, he checked him with a good left hand to the chest, which is perfectly legal when you're inside that zone. And that stopped A.J. Green's momentum immediately. He didn't even really get a chance to go for the ball. And I agree, doing it consistently in the red zone would have been a better option. Would have been a good decision there. But you know what? At the same time, it's like the defense played out of this world for the entire game. You know, and they the offense kept putting them in tough situations. It's tough to ask them, but you make a very valid point. That would have been the smarter thing to do there, But yeah, so that was just my observation, because that's a very good point by the caller, is that check, which worked on A.J. Green and has worked before. But what were you going to say, Jeff?
Well, the caller brings up a great point that isn't being talked about right now, and that's just penalties in general. It was ridiculous. I mean, there were some missed calls. There were some calls that honestly were a little ticky-tacky for my liking. Combined, both teams had 20 penalties accepted. Those are just the accepted penalties, not the ones that are declined for whatever reason. Both teams had 10. The Cincinnati Bengals, I believe, had 10 for 94 yards, and the Pittsburgh Steelers had 10 for 91 yards. That's sloppy football, folks. That's not the refs trying to get it overly involved. That's just sloppy football, plain and simple. So we have a couple other callers here. Let's see if we can get this person on the air. 910-322, Drama Chef and Chris, go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on?
Okay. I want to call, you know, I got a couple of questions and your thoughts about the drive that Ben threw the second interception on. With D'Angelo Williams had just ran for 4 yards on what, first and 10?
Mm-hmm.
And it was second and six when Ben threw the pick, right? What was the time, about
4 minutes,
about 4 to 6 minutes left on the clock?
I can look it up if you want.
In that point of the game, is it time for Tomlin to take over and say, let's run the ball, take the ball out of Ben? Ben has to be coached, too. Even though we got a Hall of Fame quarterback, Ben has to be coached. Let's run the ball. The clock is on our side. We're up four. Let's run the ball. Throw it on third if you have to. Run the ball. Those are the times that I think that Tomlin, sometimes I feel like in big moments like that, Tomlin swings. Those are the moments. Those are the moments when coaching comes in. And I think that as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan all my life, I feel like we give Tomlin a pass because of the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl, and I think that gives him a pass.
I definitely see what you're saying in terms of throwing the ball in that situation. However, I do think that one of the best things that the Steelers try to do on a week-in and week-out basis is to keep the defense off balance. And in that situation, you have to think that they're going to expect run-run-pass if necessary, because they're just going to try to kill the clock and try to get as much time off the clock as possible. However, with only a 4-point lead, you're looking at it and saying, if we can just get a field goal out of this, it's going to help our drive tremendously. And if they're expecting on second and six another run, sometimes you have to play those laws of the averages and say, well, if they're going to expect the run, if we throw a pass, it's possible that we catch them guessing or catch them off guard, and then you get a big play. And so that's some of the, in my opinion, kind of like the chess match. But I agree with you. Roethlisberger needs to be coached just like any other player on that team. And whether he checked out of a play, that's something that we probably will never know. Chris, what do you think about that?
Well, Roethlisberger definitely is coached. I mean, you've seen him. You've seen him start to improve, and you've seen him have to be checked into with the mistakes he makes. But you know, in that situation, it was the fourth quarter with that interception, and there was what, 5:46 left on the clock. I don't agree with trying to take the ball out of Ben's hands. He tried to do one of his Ben things on the field. That's one of the things that he ended up making the mistake, but saying that they shouldn't have put it in his hands is very hindsight, because you can't be too scared. You can't live in your fears. And I think that trying to do that would have, that's not what the Steelers do. Ben Roethlisberger, despite the way he played today, I'm still going to go out there and I'm going to put the ball in his hands for Ben Roethlisberger to try and win me a game, especially when our ground game's missing its best player. And when you think that, hey, if we can, the defense just got a turnover, it was a huge play, everything's going our way, this game away. Let's try to win this right now. And I'm not mad at them for trying to do that. I think that Ben just missed. It's one of those things where there's several times where we have put him in the situation. You have to play to win the game. And if you try to just run the clock out and hope that that the defense doesn't make a mistake, then you take away your opportunities to make plays. So I'm not mad at giving Ben the opportunity. It didn't work out, but I think that it's the right call to at least give him a shot to win you the game.
Yeah, and thanks for the phone call. If anyone else wants to call in, the lines are open, 347-850-8581. Again, 347-850-8581. For those that might be waiting, if you're listening live, an update came from Jason LaConfora of CBS about Le'Veon Bell. They said the Steelers are still awaiting results of an MRI on his knee to determine the severity of the injury. They said there's very serious concern that this will be a lengthy absence for the Pittsburgh Steelers running back. Other than that, Mike Tomlin gave this explanation in regards to the timeout and not taking the timeout. To me, having the timeout was more significant than the 38 seconds. The Bengals are a great situational football team, specifically in the 2 minute. We wanted the ability to work the middle of the field. So he thought that preserving a timeout was more important than keeping time on the clock. And that's the gamble that you take. And that's, and his theory there has some validity in my mind, because if you call that timeout, the time that you're saving, which could be, what, 38 seconds, as he said in his quote, the 38
right.
seconds very well could have been run off with the Steelers trying to get on the ball to clock it at some point during that last drive. So you keep the timeout, which gives you the immediate ability to stop the clock, but you also will lose that time based on trying to clock the ball later. So some news there for you about Le'Veon Bell. They're still awaiting results. But Ben Roethlisberger essentially saying in the post-game press conference that he'll take the blame for not getting it done offensively, and that's it, rightfully so, not only as a captain, but especially with the fact that he was the one that turned the ball over three times. Now, one of those was essentially like a long punt, but the other two were very, very costly. So, again, if you're listening and you want to be a part of the show, you can. It's 347-850-8581, 347-850-8581. Now, I think that it's important that for me, a lot of people are pointing to Le'Veon Bell and saying, oh, you know, we lost Le'Veon Bell in the second quarter, it threw everything off. I disagree. Yeah, that's a big loss. So you're losing the best running back in football. That's going to hurt your team. But this is why you brought in D'Angelo Williams, is because you didn't want to have to turn to Ben Tate and Josh Harris in a playoff game like you did in 2014. And D'Angelo Williams had 9 carries for 71 yards, his biggest being a 55-yard run there in the second half. Mind you, that the Steelers were unable to convert into any type of points. A couple other, I thought, solid performers that the Steelers had was Heath Miller had 10 catches for 105 yards. Antonio Brown, only 6 catches for 47 yards. He did not seem like he was in sync with Roethlisberger nor Martavis Bryant, 4 for 49. Both of those stats would have been elevated if those players bring down potential catches that were definitely thrown their way. On the defensive side of the ball, Antoine Blake leads the team with 8 tackles. I don't like it when my team's secondary is leading the team in tackles. It's never a good sign, but they did enough certainly to win. Antoine Blake actually had a pass defense. Mike Mitchell had 2. Ross Cockrell had 1. Lawrence Timmons had 1. Cameron Hayward had 1. That was the ball bat of the line. James Harrison the same. That's something that they had 7 passes defended in this game. To me, that's a step in the right direction for this defense. If you think back to the preseason, early on, everyone was complaining about, well, they're just watching them catch the football. They're literally just sitting back, they're catching the ball, and then they're tackling the catch, as Dick LeBeau coined so famously in his time at Pittsburgh. But they're doing a better job of that. Defense, this stings for a lot of reasons. The only game I can compare this loss, the way it feels afterwards, is to the Baltimore Ravens. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're AFC North rivals. It has everything to do with the fact that the Steelers should have won this football game. Just like against Baltimore, if you make one of those field goals, you win the football game. In this game, if the offense simply just gets a couple first downs, you probably win the football game. Heck, if you don't throw that last interception, there's a chance that you win the football game. And that's what is going to come back and haunt this team. And people have said it for weeks and weeks since that Baltimore loss, that there could be a time when they look back at the end of the season and say, we really let this thing go. We really screwed the pooch on this one. And so the Pittsburgh Steelers are now looking at the fact that they could be on the outside looking in, and these losses against these teams that, whether they're good, whether they're bad, doesn't matter. They're letting these games, they're letting these losses slip away. It's certainly disheartening. So I brought up 2014. I was curious about this, Chris. I just want to see, everyone remembers that the Steelers, they were struggling early last season. At one point, they were 3-3. They had just lost to the Browns in Cleveland, and people were getting ready to hammer that panic button. I mean, they were ready to just drop the hammer and say, look, we need to call in whatever we need to do, have a team meeting, whatever. Monday Night Football game against the Houston Texans when they had that incredible 1 minute and 40 seconds where they scored 21 points, changed the entire season. And that's exactly what happened. In the rest of that, the rest of the season, they went, I want to say 9-2, maybe something of that nature. No, I'm sorry, 8-3 to finish, 8-2 to finish 11-5. This team is capable of doing the same thing for the rest of this season. So you look at the rest of their schedule, okay? You take a look at their 2015 schedule next week. The Oakland Raiders come to Heinz Field. Now, everyone's going to talk about how the Raiders have had their number, and they certainly have. I don't think the last time the Steelers beat the Raiders, I believe, was at Heinz Field. That was in the famous Richard Seymour game where he punched Ben Roethlisberger in the face after throwing that touchdown. I think that's the last time they beat the Raiders, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they have the Raiders next week in Week 9, follow that up with another home game against the Cleveland Browns. Like you mentioned earlier in the show, they have to win those two games, period. And that way they can be 6-4 heading into the bye week, because after the bye week, what used to look like a murderer's row, not so much anymore. Take a look at this. They go to Seattle. That's a tough game. No one's going to say anything about that. Then they have the Indianapolis Colts at home. Indianapolis is far from being the team that everyone predicted them to be prior to the season. They go to Cincinnati. They host Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos on December 20th. That's very fortunate. Peyton Manning plays even worse than he has been in the cold weather. And then they finish up with two road games at Baltimore and at Cleveland. It's going to be tough. But like you said, if there's an onus on two games in 2 weeks, it's coming up next week with these next two games against the Raiders and against the Browns, both at Heinz Field. Chris, what are your expectations for this the near future before the bye week?
I mean, we said it. We saw it last year. Like you said, we were 3-3 at one point in the season, and then they finished the season at 8-2 when they got themselves together. This team is about, can it execute its game plan? Can it get it done? The plays were there today, just like the plays have been there most of this season. You know, there hasn't been one game where I was coming into it thinking like, man, we just got to hang in there and hope that something goes our way. You know, we were in this to the last second. And I'm of the opinion that this team can beat anyone in the NFL, and not can like, you know, any given Sunday can, but like literally can go out there and outplay any team as long as they do what they're supposed to do. And they have the talent to do it. So it's not like you're doing anything extraordinary, just, you know, going out there and executing what the play is in front of you. The defense is showing many signs of upswing. I think that they're putting themselves in a situation where, like you saw today, interceptions, though the one was kind of a punt, two interceptions on Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton had thrown two picks all season before today, and now he threw two picks against us. And I think that, and again, we've held the three highest scoring offenses in the league to the lowest points that they've been able to put up in a single game all season long. And that does speak to something. And the teams that we're about to face, you know, the Raiders, they're still figuring out who they are with Derek Carr. You know, we got the Browns. You know, who knows what we'll see with McCown. You know, will they eventually put Manziel in? Those are question marks. But the Seahawks are not a definite super powerhouse like we thought they would be coming into the season. The Colts, I mean, they're really struggling to find out what's going on there. There was a report today about Andrew Luck being injured with his ribs or whatever. But you know, there's a lot of things that is left out there. But you know what? These are the type of games that also I think that you see that build character. Not just build character in the sense that, you know, like, you know, oh, that is build character, but like in the sense that they're learning right now. They're like, man, this is tough. We got to find ways to win. We got to find other ways to win, because they did it against the Cardinals. They did against the Chargers in games that really were, you know, there a lot of big plays were needed from guys that, you know, aren't normally called upon to make them, and they did. You know, this team, I think, going down the stretch, you know, if you remember the 2005 season, they finished 11-5, and there was at one point that it looked like they were pretty much out of the playoffs, but they found ways to win, unconventional sometimes, but they did what they were supposed to do, and they got in the playoffs, got hot, and they took people off. You know, and so that's what it's going to come down to. Can they get healthy? How bad is Bell injured? If he can be healthy for the playoff and like healthy as 100% healthy and can actually make plays, and Ben doesn't get hurt, and we can keep the unit that we have out there right now, you know, and play healthy, I think that this team has as good a shot as any of the teams that are unbeaten right now to go into the playoffs, handle business, and be one of the teams that we're looking at in February, for Super Bowl Sunday. So I'm not discouraged by the loss per se in the long haul. I do wish we could have squeaked this one out because it would have kept that margin for error that I was talking about. We would still have that extra game that I think we could. It doesn't crush us to lose, and that's why I thought about last. You know, we beat the Cardinals in a game that we really shouldn't have with Landry Jones in there against the team that was, you know, lighting up the NFL and a defense that was young and talented and all that. We went in there, we went into that game and we were able to gut out a win. And then the same with the Chargers, with how our offense was horrible all game, and then the last two drives, boom, boom, you get two touchdowns. Those are games that buy you time. I think these are the games that bought time for. Now you're 4-4. You don't have a losing record halfway through the season, but now you need to go 6-2. You need to go 6-2 these last eight games. You know, this is halftime for the season. Win these two games, get your bye week, get healthy, get everyone ready to go, and buckle up and come go to Seattle and handle your business. But the first step is winning next week.
Yeah, I think if you're a betting person and you're looking at the remainder of the Steelers schedule, you would say if you're going to chalk up two losses, potential losses, I'm going to take it to the bank. If they lose these two and can win the rest, it would be at Seattle and probably at Cincinnati. So Cincinnati looks like a really good football team, although the Steelers play very well in Cincinnati. So, I have every ounce of confidence that this team can turn it around. The thing that lingers is the fact that they're winning these games that they shouldn't, and they're not winning the games that they should. And I'm not talking about from a record standpoint, from an early spread standpoint, or anything of that nature. I'm looking at it from a strict – they're losing games that they have the opportunity to win in the game, and that's what's disheartening about this team. If you want to call in, we still have a few minutes on the air. You can do so 347-850-8581. Again, that's 347-850-8581. Chris, let's talk about some winners and losers. You're going to have that column up hopefully shortly after we get off the air. What are some of your winners and losers for this game?
I'll tell you what. One of my winners is definitely going to be Heath Miller. I mean, it wasn't just his 10 catches. It was the way that he was getting them. He was catching the ball, trucking people. He was taking shots. I mean, that one catch that he had, where he took the headshot from the guy and then held on to the ball. Like, there's no way he held on to the ball, and he did. He embodies what it meant to be like, you know, that tough Steeler. In fact, sometimes I think that Heath Miller is Mr. Steeler because he never complains. He just goes out there and makes plays. When he doesn't, he says my bad, and he goes out there and just tries to make the next one. So I gotta say Heath Miller is one of my winners. Defensively, when I look at it. You know, Antoine Blake, I'm going to give him a winner because the pick was so clutch. It really kept the Steelers in the game, and it really helped the field position battle, though it didn't end up working because we gave up the field position. But Antoine Blake, I mean, his eight tackles, he was tackling what was in front of him. He did a good job against a tough assignment, and that interception was so huge. I'd say Ryan Shazier, he was bringing it today. He was sniping through the defense. Through the offense, and he made two tackles behind the line of scrimmage, one of which was a sack, another was a big run stop. Cameron Hayward is a winner just for being Cameron Hayward, wrecking people, and then that block of the field goal, which changed the entire – I mean, if think about it, if Cameron Hayward doesn't block that field goal, we're probably trying to score a touchdown and get an onside kick at the end of the game. The defense in so many ways kept this game alive. Some people might want to say Bud Dupree because he had a sack, and I do think he played well, but I'm going to hesitate for him in my winners. But losers, I got to say Ben Roethlisberger, the three interceptions. Coming off an injury, yes, there's a lot of things, blah, 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 but those were his mistakes, and those are the reason. And he's the biggest – if I had to point to one person why the Steelers lost on our own team, it would be number 7. And that's not – again, not to say that he's a bad quarterback or that we should get rid of him or anything like that, or we should have started Landry Jones today. But the fact of the matter remains that he made those big mistakes. So I put him as a loser. Looking at the defensive side of the ball, I'm not too mad at anyone in particular. I will say one loser is Dre Archer. It's very minuscule, but it drives me up the wall
when someone tries to return the kick from 9 yards back and you get tackled inside the 10. That changes field position. It makes the job harder for the offense, and it's just stupid. And when you haven't had success, and I understand he's trying to create success, but he's got to find – if he's going to do those plays, he's going to have to capitalize. It's like, you know, when you bet the house on something, if you miss, yeah, I'm gonna be mad at you because you bet my house on something so stupid. And you know, when you put yourself in that situation, that's gonna come back to bite. You know, those are my two losers off the top of my head. I really want to go back and look at the offensive line play because there were some times I wasn't mad at the offensive line. Ben looked like he had time at times, and the defensive line of the Bengals is a problem. You know, acting is bad too. They know how to bring pressure. They know how to stifle the run. But I mean, they opened up running lanes. DeCastro threw some good blocks. Villanueva even was out there making some blocks. So I gotta take a closer look to see if some of my losers. But you know, I would definitely say that Ben and Archer are up there. And you know, I hate to consider Antonio Brown, but the one drop he had over the middle wasn't good, and he didn't look like he was in sync with his quarterback. You know, I'll be debating about that as I write the article. But those are my initial reads on winners and losers for this game. Oh, and I'll say this: Dan McCullers will be an honorable mention. He didn't perform amazing, but getting a start at nose, he really filled in for the job and allowed Steve McClendon to just be the defensive end, so that we didn't have to worry about Cam Thomas all game.
Yeah, those are some good ones. I do want to say that there's some small news on Twitter. Nothing official yet, but there's rumors that Le'Veon Bell might have had an issue or said that it could be a sprain for Le'Veon Bell's knee, an MCL sprain. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, that is better than ACL. A lot of times the ACL can be confirmed right there on the spot. Think of Kelvin Beachum. By the end of the game, Tomlin said, you know, he has an ACL injury. People need to remember, like with Roethlisberger, playing running back and playing quarterback are very, very different. For a running back to become healthy, especially one that jump cuts as much as Le'Veon Bell does with the quick change of direction, that's going to be a long absence before he can come back. And when he comes back, what's he going to be like? Will he be the same running back? Will he be different? This is why they have D'Angelo Williams on the roster. It would be interesting to see what happens to the depth chart moving forward. I would certainly hope Jordan Todman, the guy that they've kept on the roster when a lot of people thought that he would be released with one of the players like Brian or Bell coming back, I would hope that he would jump Tre Archer on the depth chart and become the second back. He is good out of the backfield. He could be a good third down back for him, and he shows the ability to run the ball hard. So, we're out of time, unfortunately, and if we didn't get to your call today, we apologize. Be sure to check out Behind the Steel Curtain today, tonight, tomorrow, and every day this week as we keep you up to date with the Le'Veon Bell injury. We give you plenty of articles and commentary on the Steelers leading up to their next game against the Oakland Raiders, and be sure to join myself and Lance Williams on Wednesday night for our weekly radio show, The Standard is the Standard. And we're going to talk about the Oakland Raiders game coming up next Sunday at Heinz Field at 1 o'clock. I thank you for your phone calls. Make sure you check behindthesteelcurtain.com every day for your best Steelers news everywhere. For Chris, I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening. Bye.